Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Time on the Mic, the podcast where we take a look at life and various subjects through the eyes of myself. I am GT. I am a 63-year-old baby boomer. I'm here with my grandson, Daniel.
And I am a 16-year-old Gen Zer.
All right. Daniel, guess what? This is episode 10. We made it to 10. The fake crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
The 61 people, the 61 downloads.
Yeah, so we have 61 downloads as of today, and I checked into, because I keep getting these things through our hosting site saying how to monetize podcasts.
Yeah.
And one of the ways is to do commercials. So I thought, okay, let's do commercials. But you have to have 10,000 or more subscribers or listeners. I can't remember which one it is. So we only have 9,939 to go.
I mean, we'll get there.
We'll get there before you know it.
Yeah.
Don't blink.
Only 1,000 more episodes to go.
Yeah.
If we're going off of that rhythm there.
Well, I can't remember if it's 10,000 downloads or 10,000 subscribers. So if it's subscribers, we're in trouble. So anyway, here we are, episode 10. We are, although you won't know this, but we're recording a little early this week because we have very busy schedules this weekend. So, do you have anything you want to bring up before we get into the meat of this?
Yeah. So last episode with my mother, we talked about her path through getting into Snap-on. So could you talk about your path of schooling?
Of college?
Or? College. So basically, high school to now.
Let's see. Well, we kind of talked about that a couple episodes ago where I talked about how I hated high school.
Yeah.
High school, junior high was way better for me than high school. High school was a bit of a challenge just because, well, I was at the age you are now where you feel like, you know, I'm ready to get on with my life. School has nothing, is not doing anything for me, although that's a huge mistake. But I think every kid that age feels that way. So in high school, I got into what they called the co-op program. So I went to school, and you're into that now, kind of. I went to school in the morning, and then I worked part-time in the afternoon, and I got credit for that. So I worked at a office supply retailer, basically right across the street from the, well, let me back up. The first job I got was for a, because I wanted to get into electronics, something, you know, something on that level. So I got a job at a place who installed fire alarms and alarm systems. I thought, okay, so I'm going to learn that. Cool. So what I was actually hired for, though, they had just bought a property next door. It was a house. They bought the house, but they were going to renovate it into offices for their business. So I basically got hired to renovate this house, which had nothing to do with what I really wanted to do. So to jump ahead a little bit, I lasted probably 3 months, and it just wasn't going where I wanted it to. I had some skills at doing renovations, but it wasn't what I wanted to do for a job. So I left there, got the job at the office supply place, which wasn't what I wanted to do either, but it was good money. I actually got fired from that job for something I didn't even do. It was crazy. The woman there that owned the place was batshit crazy. But anyway, got fired from there. And I was out of work for probably 2 or 3 months. And then I got a job at a place that's not here anymore that did, I think I've told you this story. They made windows and door frames.
I don't think you've told me this.
So my job, it was a 10-hour day. My job was to work in the cutting. I don't know what they call it. Anyway, what I did was, it was me and this guy. His name was Floyd, and this guy was fucking nuts. I don't know.
Like crack nuts? Or
3/4 of the people that worked there were nuts. It was just one of those places where the people that worked there were just like the lost people, you know, because to do what we were doing required absolutely no skill.
Yeah.
So we would take these boards. They were God, I don't know, 5 feet wide and about 20 feet long. And our job was he would stand at one end of the saw and rip the boards to a certain width because that was part of the frame. So he'd send the board through. It would come to me on the other end, and I would just send it back to him until we cut it up and there was nothing left. That's what I did for 10 hours a day in a shop that had no air conditioning. It was in the dead of summer. It was hotter than hell. And to make things worse, they had ventilation system set up to suck the sawdust out of it so it wasn't in the air. So, but where I had to stand, there was a hole. It ran right above my head. There was a hole in it, and I had sawdust pouring down my head all day for 10 hours, and it got down my back. And you can imagine that, sweating. And, yeah, you know, it's
just
like
sticking to you.
Oh, my God. But there'd be guys that would go out to their cars at lunch. There was a guy there that used to just, he'd always have a fifth of whiskey in his car. And he'd drink his lunch. I mean, he went out the whole bottle, but that was his lunch. He'd drink whiskey. And so they closed the place. Well, so I was there for the summer, and I hated that job so much. Plus, it was union, and I didn't want to join the union, but you had to. But it was, you had to join a union 3 months after you started there. So one day we had a meeting because I guess they were having financial issues. So anyway, my boss said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to have to lay off some people before we start picking people. Is there anybody that wants to volunteer? And I was like, right here, buddy. So that was the end of that. So about a month after I left, the place closed down. And after it closed, there was these two guys. It was a white guy and a black guy, but that didn't matter. But it was just, they were just like inseparable. And the white guy would always call the black guy his boy. And the black guy didn't care. I mean, he didn't seem to mind. Anyway, I come to find out the white guy was shooting heroin. And the black.
So it was really the crack.
Oh, yeah. Insane. It was. And apparently he didn't want to be the one to actually put the needle in his arm. So that's why the black guy did it for him.
Wow.
He'd tie him off and shoot him up. So anyway, about a month after the place closed, I was watching the news one night, and their names came over the news. They robbed a fucking bank. I'm like, what? They robbed a bank. They robbed a bank and got caught. And I'm like, holy shit. So anyway, that was way long story. Where did I go from there? That's when I started my... I went to college briefly for photography, and then I started my career in the photo business. I started with a local photo processor here in town. And within about 3 months after starting there, I was promoted to what they called quality control, which was, and I was only 18, I think, 18 or 19, probably 18. But anyway, I had complete control over that whole lab. Nobody could do anything until I gave them the go-ahead, because I'd have to test all the, because when you process film and make prints, you have to test the equipment, and it has to fall on certain parameters. And if it's out of parameters, you got to fix it with chemicals and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that was my job. I love that job. That job was a blast. And it was second shift. So I went in at like 2 in the afternoon and got off like 10, I think, 10 or 11. And at the time, I was single, 18, I was still living at home. It was perfect for me because I could sleep late, and getting off at 10 or 11, I still had time to, if I wanted to go out with my friends or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but that place closed too. I actually got offered to relocate to Virginia Beach, Virginia, but I'm glad I didn't do it because that business totally changed with the introduction of digital.
Yeah.
You know, so from there I went to the photo place at the mall we talked about last episode. And I'll tell you that story off mic because it's kind of a funny story. But anyway. Anyway, so then I worked in home health care for about 6 years, delivering equipment to people that were like hospital beds, oxygen tanks, stuff like that, which I could do a whole show on that about the horror stories I saw there. But anyway, so working there, I caught wind of an opening at the local army base for a photographer. I didn't get that job, but I did get a job working for the photo lab, which was contractor run. So, and I ended up started in the photo lab, worked my way up to the where I was repairing equipment and doing videos and doing live events, the sound support for live events, that sort of thing, like PA systems.
Yeah.
And eventually got promoted to the project manager, which was, I was over the whole operation. I did that for 17 years, I think. And then I left that company for 3 years, worked for another company, and then I retired.
So if you, since you did that, did you get Army benefits?
No, I wasn't a, I was a contractor, which I wasn't a government employee. Okay. I worked for a private company. But when I started that job is when I decided to go to college, because in order to work my way up into the video department and the repair department, I had to have a degree in electronics. So that's when I went to college for that. I did that for 2 years, got my degree, and then since I was going to school, I already got the position, but I had to complete it in order to keep it. So
yeah,
and that was fun. It was a fun job. When I got to when I was running a place, it was still fun, but less fun because I had a crew of people. I mean, you name it. I had every personality under the sun. So trying to balance all that and keep people happy, and it was tough, but I loved the job itself. I loved the video part of it. And in fact, you know, if I could get a job doing that today, I'd do it. I just, because it's a very creative outlet for me to do that. In fact, so we did a video one time for our local installation. I can't even remember what it was about. But the guy I did it for had to send it to higher headquarters, which was in Virginia, I think, somewhere. Anyway, he called me up one day and he goes, "Well, they didn't like your video." I said, "What?" Because it was, I thought it was really well done, well produced. It had a bunch of effects and stuff in it.
Yeah.
He says, "Well, it's not that they didn't like it. They don't want to use it." I said, "Well, why?" "Because it's better than anything they can do." And I'm like, "What?" So, yeah, all that work for nothing. So, anyway, that's my career in a nutshell.
So, you went to college when you went to the local Army base?
I was working full-time during the day and going to school 4 nights a week. From like 6 to 10:30 for 2 years.
And that's where you got your one speeding ticket?
Yeah. 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 Ironically, it was my last night of class. We were having our final and I was studying on my way to school, which in hindsight was probably not the smartest thing to do. So before I know it, I look up and the light had turned red and I was just, there was no way I could have tried to stop, but I would have ended up in the middle of the intersection, which probably would have been worse. So anyway, yeah, unfortunately there was a policeman that saw me and pulled me over, and I just said, "Okay, you know, I did it. I know I did it." So I paid the ticket, and only ticket I've ever had in my whole life. Yeah, running a red light. I think it cost me like $75. But yeah, I graduated with a 3.8. GPA, I believe.
Isn't that pretty good?
Yeah, 4 was the best.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I was always into computers. My first computer was a Commodore 64, if you're old enough to remember those. So basically what it was a keyboard you hooked up to your TV. It didn't even have a monitor. You had to hook it up to your TV. It had no storage. So as soon as you shut it off, anything you did was gone. But I taught myself how to program in BASIC with that thing. So our last semester in college was computers, and they actually had a Commodore 64 there, which, if you remember those, it had 1K of memory, and now you have like, I don't know, it's like 1,000 times that. Anyway, so we're standing around one time in the lab, and I said, we're going to do computers. So I don't know, there's about 4 people standing there with me, and I wrote a quick little program to where it would ask you your name, you type in your name, and it would respond back saying, "Hi," whatever your name was, you know, "How are you?" And It would ask you a couple questions, and based on the response, it would give an answer. So it took me like 5 minutes to do it. And so I said, hey, watch this. And I went to run the program, and I said, okay, who wants to? So this guy, I think his name was Steve, put in his name, and he goes, hi, Steve, how are you? He's like, how the hell did you do that? And it asked a couple other questions. So anyway, I said, well, I know how to program in BASIC. And everyone that was standing there go, will you be my lab partner? So yeah, I knew I was going to cruise through that semester, so which I did. I did really well, but yeah. So, in a nutshell, that's my work career.
Yeah.
Now I do whatever the hell I want. I was very fortunate to be able to retire at age 52, but it required a lot of planning. I started working when I was 13. And from the day I started working, I started planning my retirement.
Yeah.
So it was all a plan mapped out, and I was able to retire at 52, which is cool. So, but now I'm an old man of 63.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Does that satisfy your question?
Yeah.
All right. So anything else?
Nope.
All right. So a couple episodes ago, we gave each other an assignment to listen to an album that we're going to review those at this time. I gave Daniel David Bowie's Diamond Dogs, and he gave me Zilla Kami Dog Boys, right?
Dog Boy, yeah.
Dog Boy?
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you go first?
So I know you want me to talk about the album cover.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of that?
So did you buy this specifically because of the album cover?
Yep.
Because I would too.
Well, I told you when I used to go to the record stores, because albums were so cheap.
Was this the first album you had of his?
I knew of him, but yeah. He had a hit song on the radio. I know you've heard it. It's called Space Oddity.
Okay.
Ground Control to Major Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
I knew of him because he started out as a character called Ziggy Stardust, and he would, I can show you pictures later, but he started out as like a theatrical kind of guy where he would,
yeah, he had like multiple different outfits. Well, different, he had like makeup, and
I think he had two different color eyes, and he had like a lightning bolt painted across his head, his face, and his whole thing was you couldn't tell. He, you know what androgynous is?
Mm-mm.
That's where you have traits of both male and female.
Oh, okay.
So he was, his whole thing, and it's.
So that actually is spoken about in one of these songs.
Yeah, yeah. But I think what his thing was is to get himself noticed, you know, like any, when you're starting out trying to make yourself famous or big back then or even today, you had to come up with something that would set you apart from everybody else. So that's why Kiss did the, you know, the big
lavish. So yeah, I've seen
Alice Cooper.
Yeah, I've seen part of the documentary of him. He's like a crazy outgoing guy that wears whatever he wants. And
David Bowie?
Yeah.
He used to be. He's dead now. But
well, yeah, but is David Bowie the person who has the teeth problem and he wouldn't fix his teeth? Because he said that was the reason he was able to sing so well. I don't know.
Oh, that's Freddie Mercury.
Oh, okay.
From Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that story, at least.
They did a song together. I'm sure you've heard that, Under Pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, continue.
So
I bought it because of the cover. Okay. I knew of him. I only knew whatever they played on the radio, and that was predominantly that Space Oddity song.
Well, I listened to the 2016 remastered, because that's the only one on Spotify with lyrics.
Okay.
And Diamond Dogs. The first, technically, well, it's not technically a song, but it's the first song on the album. It's a intro.
Yeah, it's like a spoken word.
Yeah, it's thing. Called Future Legends. It's an intro speaking. At the end of it, it has a good transition, but the background is great, and I like what he's talking about. It's edgy, but it has a good story meaning behind it. So, number two on the album, Diamond Dogs, which is the name of the album. It was I put it in wouldn't mind. Like, it's going back to my would put on, turn off, wouldn't mind type of set, but...
Burn it.
I put it as I dislike the delivery. It had good background and great storytelling. I dislike some of the deliveries on his songs.
Like what?
It's like... So the lyrics, it's kind of like... I like more of a rhyming thing. It's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's trying to... Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a theme album. I mean, there's a theme to the whole album, and he's basically trying to tell a story.
Yeah. Number three is Sweet Thing, which there's multiple... There's two Sweet Things on this, which very confused. But the number three Sweet Thing, it is... I put it in Turn Off. So I disliked the slowness and plus the delivery, but it has a good transition with the instrumentals towards the end. So that's the highlight of that.
Okay.
Number four is Candidate. I put it in also Turn Off.
Really?
Yeah. I said it was too upbeat for me, the background at least.
Too upbeat?
Yeah. I think it had a whole bunch of tapping noises that was like chimes or whatever.
Okay.
And it was just too much for me. But it had good storytelling, so that's the highlight. And number five, I got to find here. It was the other... Where is that at? Okay, number five, yeah. The number five is the other Sweet Thing, and it has... I put it in Wouldn't Mind on, and it has great background, and I like the questionable lyrics. That's kind of a highlight of some of these songs, and it has questionable lyrics, and it wants you to listen more to them. Mm-hmm. And number six on the album, I put on, would put on, it's Rebel Rebel.
Yeah, that was the big hit from this album.
It was.
Yeah.
I like the tune. The singing is great. The lyrics are great. That's the highlights for that.
Actually, that was my first introduction to the world of not transsexual, but it was transvestite. So what the difference is, a transvestite is somebody who likes to dress up as the opposite sex, not necessarily change their body.
Okay.
So there's a line in there.
He talks about...
You can't tell if you're a boy or a girl.
Yeah, and also something about how, like, dresses and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... But...
And that was his way of getting noticed, because back then that was like... You heard that and you're like, wow, he's singing about a guy dressing up like a girl? What the hell is that all about?
Yeah.
You know?
Number seven on the album is Rock and Roll With Me. And I put it in Would Put On. It's the type of song I'd go to see at a concert. That's how I describe it. It has a great background, great lyrics, and great singing again. So, I mean, it's a concert-like song that I think would have a good environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I put it there. Number eight on the track is We Are The Dead. You like this or something?
I love the whole album.
But I put it in Would Put On as well. It has great lyrics. Love the background. Voice is very entertaining on this specific song. Do you want to add something to this?
No, I'll wait to the end because my comments have to do with the entire album.
Okay. And number nine is 1984. I put it in Would Put On. It has a great background. Great delivery. This is the one I highlighted. It has a good delivery on this song. The singing's great, so that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And number 10 on the album, I also put in Would Put On. It is called Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Great background again, great story again, and interesting, just in general. Interesting lyrics, interesting instrumentals, everything to do with it. And number 11 on the album, very, very different.
What was that? What's the name of it?
So it's called Chant of the Ever-Circling Skeleton Family. Yeah. Now, this is very, I put in very cult-like and just a questionable song in general. It has basically the same lyrics, but which is a chant, but I mean, very just questionable song to put out there.
That's a great song.
Is it?
Oh, man.
It's very questionable. But that's what I had for this album. Do you want me to do an overall right now or after you speak?
Well, let me ask a couple questions first about, so to me, when I first listened to this album, it has a very creepy feel to it.
Yeah, I like that part of the album. It's
because the story, as I interpret it, is it's very dystopian. Like the world has gone to shit.
Yeah,
and it's every man for himself, and everybody's just trying to do what they have to do to get by, and there's some power struggles. People trying to you know get power, and that's the candidate song. But when I first put it on, because I had no idea what to expect, like I said, I bought it because of the album cover. But
the intro really gets you in there.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy start to it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's trying to think of what he says.
Not even what he says. The instrumental that starts it off is very hooking.
Something about rats the size of cats.
Yeah, yeah.
10,000 peopleoids split into small tribes. Yeah, he's done that kind of thing on a couple albums, but he's got a great song called, it's not on this album, it's on Never Let You Down, I think. It's called The Glass Spider. That's a really cool song.
Yeah, he also, I remember this lyric, I don't know it word for word, but he was talked about building a glass asylum.
Mm-hmm.
That was on one, it was, all the lyrics on that song was very different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a hard story to go with, but the lyrics are interesting enough that you want to listen and
well,
on.
That's why I told you, you really should give it another listen if you're interested and really listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting album. What'd you think of the guitar player?
So you can hear it, but the times that he gets like focused on, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So
his guitar player, his name is Mick Ronson on this album. He was in his band for quite a while. I believe he was in the Ziggy Stardust band too, but I'm probably going to mess the facts of this up, but if I remember the story right, so he was Mick Ronson's sound basically helped propel Bowie's career because it was a unique sound at the time. Very hard rock. You know, he used a lot of effects, some fuzz and feedback.
Yeah, there's definitely effects on his voice,
but anyway,
on the talking and the effects on the last song.
So Bowie, throughout his career, tried to reinvent himself a few times into different characters so much as he was still David Bowie, but he was always changing his style of music. And so anyway, he decided to go a different direction, and Mick Ronson was out of the band. And I don't remember if Mick Ronson ran into some health issues or something, but Bowie basically just parted ways with him and never tried to help him, or, and he could have. I mean, there was something to do with Mick Ronson saying that he got screwed out of some royalties or something. And
kind of what happens in the music business.
That happens so much. Yeah. It's stupid. But anyway, so what's your overall?
I give it, because of the few bad songs, I'd say two of them are mostly songs, but the last song on the album isn't really a song, I'd say.
I got to listen to that again. I can't really recall how that went.
But I'd say an 8 out of 10.
Really?
So a 4 out of 5.
Cool. Yeah. So what'd you think of the album cover? Did you expect to see that on the backside?
Well, if you look at the name of it, yeah, but it was very interesting to see because it actually is great artwork.
Yeah, so basically what it is, the front shows David Bowie kind of laying on his
stomach.
Right. And so back then, of course, the album, you could open it up into one big piece of artwork. But the back album showed his back half, and his back half is him as
a dog. Yeah.
He's got hooves or paws.
Yep.
And he's in a circus tent.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's when I saw that, I'm going, okay, I got to check this out. But yeah, it is good artwork. I don't know who did it.
It reflects the interestingness of his lyrics and how he tells stories. So
he's always been like that. I mean, he writes great music. He was a great artist. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But yeah, he later in his career, he got into a style of music I wouldn't say I disliked, but it just didn't do anything for me. So I kind of lost touch with him for a while.
His golden days.
Yeah.
Where he's noticed and he wants to just write songs that he wants to.
It was just what he was. It was a style of music. I thought
because it was a style, or that he already got out what he wanted to get out, like on this album.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you'd have to ask him that, but it just seemed like he kind of lost his creative touch to me, where he wasn't like, it was just, okay, I've settled on this style and this is what it's going to be, instead of like creating different things like he did early on in his career. So, yeah, if you like this, you should really give the Ziggy Stardust album a spin, because that's a good one too. So he was his character was Ziggy Stardust, and his band was called the Spiders from Mars. There's a video out there of, where did I see that? It must have been, had to have been YouTube. But there's a live video of him in concert doing that tour. It's really good. I mean, if you like that, if you like him as an artist, you'd like it. So 8 out of 10, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Any other comments on that?
No, just agree. The listeners should listen to it.
Yeah.
Or at least the songs that I said.
Yeah, Rebel Rebel was, I think they still play that today on classic rock radio.
But. My favorite song off the album was, I believe, yeah, it was We Are the Dead and also Big Brother were my two favorites. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you gave me Dog Boy by Zillikami.
Do you want his background before you start going off?
Well, I kind of looked up his back.
You did?
But go ahead, because some of it I didn't quite understand.
So basically, he started becoming a rapper, blah, blah, blah. He was an underground rapper trying to get his name out. And he's been doing it for a long time. He started off ghostwriting for a artist named 6ix9ine, which they parted ways.
Right.
And so that's the reason why 6ix9ine got popular, is because of him. He started off writing lyrics for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he did. And then he started creating his own music. He would be a feature person. He wouldn't actually just create his own songs.
Right.
And then in 2017, I don't know what he did. He probably fought, because he loves to fight. He's a boxer. He's a, what's that called? Like a
pugilist?
No, he's a...
That's what you call a boxer, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. No. But he's a... I don't know how to say it. He's like, what is the league that... Like, the River Bandits. What is that? Minors. He's like a minor boxer.
Oh, okay.
So he does that, and so he probably got incarcerated for fighting. And, because he does it on the street for some reason.
So street fights?
Yeah. But... He does that, but either way, he met another artist right after he got out of prison named Sauce Moolah, who they're both from New York, and they created City Morgue together, and they created music together, but this is his solo
City
act.
City Morgue, was that the band name, or was that the record label?
That's the band name.
Yeah, okay.
But this is his solo act.
Right, right.
So, but that's kind of his background.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
So... Any more on that?
Oh, his favorite artists are Nirvana and just more rock, and DMX, the rapper. So it's kind of a mixture of almost everything, whatever he wants. He's big into sad rock and heavy metal and all that. So,
so now does he actually play an instrument, or he just sings?
He's a singer.
Okay. that it?
Yeah. I don't believe he plays any instruments, but I know for sure he is a singer.
Because so. I know in one of the songs he talks about is something about his guitar needs a string.
Yeah, so basically he probably does dabble in some instrumentals.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So I've got a lot of questions about this album when we get done.
basically he's just a mysterious man, but.
Well, okay. Well, I'll just jump right in here.
All
right. You can jump in when you feel like you need to. So this album consists of 15 songs and they're all really relatively short. I think the longest one was 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's how rap albums are.
All right. So the first song is called Chewing Gum. It's a 2-minute song. I like the guitar riffs in it. The lyrics are very, very violent.
Yeah, he's a very violent.
Lots of references to guns and weapons. And I started keeping track of this because, and I'll get into this later as to why, but he said the N-word 10 times in this song.
Okay.
But I have to say I was surprised about how violent the lyrics to a lot of these songs.
Okay.
The next one is called Chains. It's 3 minutes. Again, extremely violent lyrics. He does mention Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird. And the reference to chains in the song, he says, chains are used to choke you out if you play me.
Yep.
Which
is another fight reference.
Well,
it's a street fight.
I think that goes a little bit beyond street fighting.
Yeah.
But anyway. So the N-word count on this song is 7. Song number 3, Lemon Juice, 2-minute song. Very, very violent lyrics. Talks about shooting people and I have no idea. He doesn't, at least I couldn't decipher what lemon juice even meant. Do you know?
I was going to search that up. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure I know of it, but I just don't want to be wrong.
Okay. And the N-word count on this song is 10.
Okay.
So, yeah, he likes that word. This is where it kind of goes south for me. Well, that's probably a bad word, but anyway.
What?
Well, it gets very depressing after this. I mean, that was depressing.
Yeah.
But song 4 is called Not Worth It. It's a 2-minute song. I like the music on this one. The lyrics were clear. I could understand them. But it's very, very sad where he's basically questioning his value to the world.
It sounds
like. Yeah. But no N-words.
Yeah. So, like I thought, it means shooting somebody in the head.
Lemon juice?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Next song is called Hello. 2.5-minute song. It was okay. Lyrics were clear. He's definitely having a bad day. His goldfish died. His car won't start. His bike got stolen.
I like how you're listening to lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, I'm a lyric guy. That's what hits me first.
So you, so far, like his lyrics?
No,
well,
I do not.
Well, I mean, the now when he's getting to the...
Well, let me clarify that. So my favorite kind of song to listen to is a sad song.
Okay, which is a lot of these.
This goes beyond that, though. A sad song like, you know, my wife left me or my dog died or, you know.
Well, his goldfish died.
Yeah. And the reason I like sad songs is because the person who wrote the song, it's from the heart. Where a upbeat song, for the most part, is, hey, let's get a 12-pack of beer and some chicks and let's go party.
One of these.
Anybody can write that shit.
One of these songs is very from the heart. So
yeah, and I don't know if you know who this is, but the example I'll use is Melissa Etheridge. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't believe.
So anyway, when she first came out, I loved her music because it was, you could tell it was all pretty much sad songs because she was struggling with, she was a lesbian having trouble, you know, making it into business, being ostracized because of her preferences. But then she got she got into a relationship and it was all roses and puppy dogs for her, and her music suffered for it because it just got into...
It got happier? Or?
It got happier, and it was more like pop music as opposed to music that had feeling, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. It makes sense to me. But anyway, in the song Hello, he seems to have... And I think a lot of this is him trying to project an image of himself. I mean, I'm sure...
I believe.
I mean, if somebody really felt this way about themselves, they'd probably put a gun to his head.
So he did. He did. He was very open about having depression. So,
but he seems to have some real self-esteem issues in this song. But again, I'm not sure how much of that is true and how much is image, and I don't know. And it's like I kind of told you before with the emo bands back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's pretty popular, right?
He's in underground, but he's...
But I mean, he's
popular for the underground.
He's got a pretty good career going. I mean, he's making money and selling records, right?
Yeah.
What the hell's he got to be so depressed about? That's what makes me think a lot of this is just image, because the image he portrays is what draws people to his music.
So, I mean, there's a lot of problems with his background, but...
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's
just one reason.
So, the N-word count in this song, 0.
Woot woot.
The next song was called Bleach, 2.5 minutes. Another very sad song. He seems to be really crying out for help here, and I'm not sure if he's referring to drinking bleach.
What?
Is that what he's referring to? Because he says something about drinking something.
Kinda, yeah.
I like the guitar work. Whoever plays guitar for him, I don't know if it's the same person, but they do pretty good work. And I noticed when I looked up this album, there's like 4 or 5 different producers.
Yeah. So.
But there is a count of 1 for the N-word on this song.
Yeah.
And number 7, 631 Makes Me. 1 minute song, very violent. He talks about shooting somebody in the head. And I believe one of the lyrics were, his dreams are in my lap.
Yeah.
Which I took to mean his brains are all over. Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit. What is 631? Do you know? Is that a caliber of a weapon?
Yeah.
Or? Okay. Very depressing. If he really feels this way, he needs to really seek some help.
Well, let me just say, he's... a very good lyricist.
What?
In my perspective.
Good in what way? What do you...
Like, his lyrics are good.
Good in what way? Like...
They're actually...
They tell a good story.
They tell a good story.
About killing people?
It's... Well, okay, you say that, but...
Well, that's what they're about.
Okay, but take
if
other...
He isn't, if his songs, if he isn't talking about killing somebody, he's talking about killing himself.
Take about other rappers. They just talk about nonsense. So, I mean, that's how it is.
I think I take that over this. And this shit's depressing, man. Anyway, no N-words, though. So there's a bright spot in that song. Next song, number 8, IHY, 2 minute song. From what I got out of that, the IHY means I hate you.
Yep.
Okay. Again, very violent, talking about weapons, killing.
He does that a lot on this solo album, which I believe is his only solo album.
Why does he talk so much about killing people?
So I think it's either 24 or 25, but he talks about how the government doesn't know that he's killed like 25 people. So, yeah.
The government?
Yeah. He speaks about how people don't know about him, but he's killed a lot of people.
So he's announced to the world that he's killed 25 people.
Yeah. 24, 25, yeah.
And the cops or nobody immediately?
Nope. Legally, you cannot use lyrics against anybody.
But you said he said it.
Yeah. In a song.
Oh, in a song.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, there's a reason why he was a ghostwriter. I mean, he does lyrics, so. But continue.
Okay. So, the N-word count on this song is 7. So, he's picking up ground where he left off the zeros. Number 9 is called Badass, a 3-minute song.
This is the low light of the album, I'd say.
I like the guitar, and I'm completely confused on what it's about.
It's kind of like a throw-in song because it's with a legend in the game, so that's really all it is.
A legend in the game?
Yeah.
What game?
Lil Uzi Vert. The game meaning rap industry.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. 4 N-words in that song, so we're picking up steam. The next one, Tactical Nuke Interlude, 46 seconds.
It's a transition song.
Mm-hmm. I like the guitar work in it. Again, violent. For 46 seconds, you're thinking. He can't get too much in there, but yeah, he managed to do it. And including one N-word. Next up is Nissan Only, number 11 at 2 minutes. More violent drug or weapons references, drug references in the song. He talks about mushrooms and acid. And,
yeah.
I don't know. This guy's got some problems. N-word count, and this one is 5. Number 12, Black Cats, 2-minute song, sad, depressing. Is he talking about suicide in this song? It sounds like it.
I can't tell off the top of my head, but okay. More than likely.
No N-words, though. And I put that I like the music.
It's that song's more about just bad days. Really.
Well, I've had bad days, but wow. He takes it to a whole new level. All right. 13, when I saw the title of this song, I was like, I think I might want to skip this one. It's called Dead Girl.
Oh, it's a good song.
2-minute song. The music was good. Very sad. Very depressing. There's a theme going here, folks.
Well, did you listen to all the song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you realize how... So you know how rappers like repeat
mm-hmm.
their lyrics?
Mm-hmm.
So he repeats it twice, and then he changes it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I just wanted to point out in the song, if you got to that.
No N-words, though, on that one. Number 14, this was the one I liked the most, called Frosty.
You like this the most?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
3-minute song. I really liked the music. The song had a good tempo, but it is depressing, but it was...
This is his one of his first songs.
Okay.
And he threw it onto this album.
Yeah, I don't care for the message, but the song overall was pretty good. And no N-words. The last song, number 15, Space Cowboy, 2.5 minutes. This song seemed disjointed to me because it seemed like he was singing faster than the music was playing.
So this song specifically, he came out and said that this is the hardest song that he ever wrote, and it's because of the true story that he's telling.
Yeah, somebody close to him died?
Yeah, his best friend committed suicide in a forest, and this is the story of him committing suicide in the forest.
And he's dreaming about him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought his singing was, the singing and the music weren't synced. Like the tempo of his lyrics were going faster than the music, which seemed odd to me.
Kinda.
No N-words.
But the Space Cowboy is kind of the thing he's known for. If you talk to somebody about it, that's the song they would mention.
Really?
So.
Okay. All right, so that's all the songs on the album. So my notes were, and I think I brought this up before, but I had to check this out because I find it hilarious how rappers try to portray this badass image with their names, and then you look up their real names, and
yeah.
It's like Snoop Dogg is Calvin something.
Yeah.
So Zilla Kami was born, is it Junius?
I don't know.
Junius sure. Donald Rogers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The lyrics are very, very violent and disturbing, in my opinion. And I can't help but think some of that is just he's trying to portray an image, which he does well. Musically, overall, it was pretty good. My favorite song was Frosty. So the N-word count for the entire album is 45.
Yeah, which I'd say is pretty low for a lot of people.
So musically, on a scale of 1 to 5, I'd give it a 3. Lyrically, I'd give it a 1.
Really?
Well, it's just, if he had one or two songs about, you know, somebody dying close to him or shooting something, or and then the rest were like a little more positive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like I said, his other band, his band that he's a part of isn't a positive band. So
what I'm hearing from you then is this is today's emo music.
Kinda.
Yeah. Okay. So I have some questions.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I would never listen to this.
I listen to this every morning.
Okay. Well,
the whole album.
Since you said that, I have to ask you, first of all, why and what do you get out of this? Let me finish.
Okay.
So if I listened to this every day, I would be so depressed and I would want to like go out and start shooting people.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you what you get out of this, that you listen to this every day. Because for me personally, music is either helps me out of a bad place, it lifts me up when I'm having a bad day, or in music, I find something I can relate to in the music that, you know, as a person.
Yeah.
So please don't tell me you can relate to this as a person.
Let me ask you a question first. What do you think about his voice? Because it's not studio amplified. It's his actual voice.
It is.
No, it's not.
Well, yeah, it is.
Nope. The raspiness in his voice is his actual voice.
But everybody that records music has some.
His like screaming is slightly amplified.
There's always production on everything.
Yeah.
What do I think about it as far as a singer?
As a storyteller. Just his voice in general to listen to it.
I guess it's okay. I didn't really.
So that's a main reason why I listen to him. I think he has the best voice that I've listened to as a rapper in general. You can understand him.
So are you telling me as you're listening to this, you don't pay attention to the message?
No, I do. Okay.
Well, maybe I should rephrase my question. What message do you get out of this that makes you feel good or bad?
So every one of his songs has a, like, besides two, have an actual story to them. So that's what I like to listen to about it. I'm a very story person. Like, the album that you had me do, that's why most of them were high up on, would put on, because it's a good story. That's why I listen to it. Also, I have a playlist of this specifically. I have his solo album, and then I have City Morgue's albums underneath it, and it all goes in order.
So when you say you let the story get you, are you saying it doesn't matter what the story is about?
Well, the story,
because these stories are very dark.
Yeah, but it's at least, you know, because Dog Boy's true. This is known. And
what does that mean?
So it's a documented true story.
What is?
His friend killing himself in a forest, and
that's what this whole album is about.
It's kind of a tribute album, Space Cowboy. That's why people.
Yeah, but he's talking about actually killing people.
Yeah, and then this is because he was open about being depressed, and this is a lot of his songs out of that to get stuff off his chest.
So when you listen to this, how does it make you feel?
Fine. It soothes my day.
This music soothed you?
Yeah, it soothes my day, including the heavy metal rap that City Morgue does. So,
wow. Well, because I seriously thought about staging an intervention.
Yeah. You know, it's nothing that I'm depressed or anything. I like storytelling and music. He has the favorite voice.
Well, I do too, but I don't want to. I love a good story, but I don't know that I'd want to listen to a story or read a story about somebody doing the things he's talking about.
So Two Man Things is a story, and he has my favorite voice for the rap industry. So,
okay. And you listen to this every day?
Yep, every morning. Specifically this album, in the morning. I put on the first song when I get in the car. Wow. And go in order.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, my other question is, and I know you don't have the answer to this, but this is what really bugs me about this. So he says the N-word 45 times in this whole album.
Okay.
Why is that? Now, if I did that, if I put out an album and said that word 45 times, I'd be probably locked away for the rest of my life in solitary confinement. Why is it okay for black rappers and black people in general to be able to say this word and nobody
else? It's not just African American. It's also Hispanic. And it's really anybody with a heritage in general, I guess.
Okay. Why is it okay for everybody to say this word but white people?
I don't know. It's just a thought upon racist thing. Well,
what's your feelings on that?
So,
I mean, did you ever question that?
I do, actually, because some white artists actually do say it. So, you know, some people frown upon it, but
if I walked up
most people that actually care about what they're listening to, they do not care that they are using it. It's the people that don't like the music and they want to pick out something.
Well, it doesn't even have to be music. If I walked up to a black guy and called him that, I'd be probably killed.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're using it...
But if he said that to me,
yeah,
and I tried to retaliate, yeah, I'd be the one in trouble.
So if you're... I'd say this. If you're using it as a hateful way towards somebody...
But what if I used it like he does, where it's, hey, my N, what's happening? What's up?
My point of view on it is it's fine is if it's used as a obvious hateful way.
But I'm talking about if I said that to a black person.
Okay.
They wouldn't be okay with that, I guarantee it.
Well, I know a lot of people that would be, but it's not, it's just a normal speech.
Do you agree there's a double standard?
There shouldn't be a double standard, but there is.
There is. There most definitely is.
I'd just say if any words and used in a hateful way, that's the reason to retaliate, but there's no reason that, you know, a word should be banned to any race, really. So,
well, I mean, I guess
my thought on it.
My point is, if it's okay for one person to say it, it should be okay for everybody to say it.
Yeah.
Especially
if it doesn't have a hateful use of it every time you speak of it. So
right.
That's my thought on it.
Okay. So, yeah. Hopefully, if we do this again, you give me a little something more calmer to listen to.
Okay.
Not necessarily calmer, but less violent.
Would you like another storytelling, but a popular album? Or would you like a popular album of generation in general? You can't really understand it, but it's very extremely popular. What type of thing would you like?
Let me think about that, and we'll figure that out later on. So anyway, those are our reviews.
What'd you rate out of it?
Musically, I'd give it a 3?
Yeah, and lyrics you said for...
Lyrically, I'd give it a 1.
Extreme reason 1.
Well, it's
your opinion, correct, but...
There's nothing appealing to me, and like I said, when I listen to a song, the first thing I pay attention to is the lyrics. What are they trying to say? What's the song about?
So you're saying that you dislike the lyrics, but I'd say they're good lyrics, but it's a strong version of what you're wanting, basically, and that's why you dislike it.
I dislike the subject of the lyrics.
Okay.
I there is no spin you could put on this music with using the, well, actually, there's no spin you could put on these lyrics that would make me want to listen to it, because it's just, I get no pleasure out of listening to somebody say how they're killing people and they want to kill people, or
yeah,
I just there's no way I would enjoy ever listening to that.
A lot of photos he's in on the internet and like in his house that he posts, the guns that he talks about, he owns them all. So, I mean,
that scares me even more.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's just,
he owns a rocket launcher.
I don't doubt that. There's nothing appealing to the message and to me in this, because it's just all, he seems like he's gone off the deep end. He's very depressed. He's got,
yes, in this, for
self-esteem
sure.
issues, and he wants to take it out on the world. Like, if you get in my way, I'm going to shoot you, and not even, I'll shoot you first and ask questions later, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I find nothing appealing about that. I mean, now if it was a story about, like a serial killer or a criminal that actually did that stuff, that's different, because that's telling us,
well, yeah, but
this is him actually saying, this is what I want to do to people.
Yeah, but you also said that Dog Boy was bad for that reason, or what did you say for that?
What do you mean?
Because Dog Boy is a true story. So I don't know what you,
what do you mean? That's the name of the album.
Space Cowboy.
What's your question?
So you said for that reason, like, you want to listen to a serial killer or whatever, but that's a true story of his friend.
But you're telling a story about something somebody's already done and gotten caught for.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This is him saying, I hate the world, I hate myself, so I'm going to go shoot some people.
I guess.
There's a big difference there, to me anyway. But if you like it, I guess that's all that matters to you, but...
Yeah.
This is not something I would ever
put on.
No.
Not one song?
No. Well, if I was in a room with a bunch of people and they put on that Frosty song, I could listen to it. But
yeah,
if they started playing this album, I think I'd have to go outside or go to another room.
I guess I got a tactic then. I, you know, just put on my favorite album.
I don't want you around anymore. I'm going to put on Godzilla or whatever his name is. Zillakami.
Yep.
So is that how he got the Zilla from Godzilla?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, there you go. If you're into that kind of stuff, I can give you a name of a good psychiatrist. I think you have some issues to work out. All right. So that's my review of that. You got anything else?
No.
All right. So this was our 10th episode, as we said, so that's a pretty good milestone, I think. I mean, we're on our way. We got 60-some downloads. Hopefully by the next time we record, we will have doubled that or tripled that.
Yeah.
All right, so we should give our contact info before we get out of here. Email is timeonthemic@gmail.com, Mike spelled M-I-C. Social media
Is Time on the Mic on everything besides Facebook. Currently, it is Time on the Mic, space Daniel.
All right. And we should mention, too, we had Jessica on last time. She is the J in C&J Superior Tools, our sponsor. They are a Snap-on tool franchise. They can take care of you in anything you need tool-wise or gadget-wise in that field. Their number, area code 563-949-0160. They have a Facebook group that goes by C&J Superior Tools. So if you are in the market for some tools or gadgets or Snap-on anything, they're the people to call. So give them a call, 563-949-0160. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for our 10th episode. I am GT.
I'm Daniel.
This time on the mic is over.